Mr. Marsden. Murder used to be my business. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean reporting murder, not committing it. My editor sometimes says I get away with murder, but he's referring to my expense account. Anyhow, I was enjoying my job when, one day not long ago, swish, I'm taken right off murder beats and handed an assignment that sent my brain into a tailspin at first. I had to start writing a series of articles on subjects I'd seldom even thought of. Labor-management relations, economics, and the like. Nellie McCoy helped me do the research. She's a great girl to have around.
The chief wants to see you, Danny.
Oh, what's on his mind now?
Phew, he's been talking to me half an hour, and I still don't know. He's sure pepped up about something, anyway. Gave me some general research to do and said to wait on you for specific details.
Well, but what's the story?
I'll tell you, I don't know yet. Anyhow, he's waiting to see you. I'll be here when you need me.
Atta girl, Nellie. I'll go face the dynamo.
Oh, come in. Come in. Sit down, Danny. I've been waiting for you. These articles are terrific. Terrific. Getting lots of comment. We've got to keep them up and keep them good.
Now, what's the next subject, Chief? Nellie says you're excited about it.
Well, I'll give you the idea in a nutshell. Here. Come here. Come to this window. Now, there's a picture for you. A booming city. Lots of big, shiny cars. Smart storefronts. It's a little piece of Canada. But what makes it tick? Why is it prosperous? Why are most of the men and women down there dressed better and happier looking, too, than practically any other spot in the world? How'd they get that way? What kind of ideas and what kind of people made this country? What'll make it continue to grow and improve? That's the story I want, Danny. See what I mean?
Well, sort of a summation, eh? Canada, where she stands, how she got there, and where she's going.
That's it. Something factual and at the same time inspiring.
Now, look, Chief. I'm not exactly John Gunther, you know.
There you go, referring to Americans. Now, I want you to write a good, sound Canadian piece. Something we'll all be proud of. And don't be dull, that's all.
Now, don't worry, Chief. We'll get a story for you.
It'll take any reasonable amount of time, but get a good story.
You mean, Danny, we just walk up to people and ask them questions? Won't they think we're daft?
No. Everyone's used to that these days. I'll tell them who you are and just sound them out. Say, I've got an idea. Let's start at Joe's lunch counter. It'll break the ice and we can have coffee while we work.
Well, I could use a coffee about now.
Oh, quite a change in here since Joe first opened up, eh? There was only a hole in the wall in those days.
Let's take that table over there and get Joe to come sit with us a while.
Miss, will you tell Joe you want to see him, please?
Joe had one counter and about eight stools first time I came here. Now everybody at the Sentinel patronizes the place, including the managing editor.
Hello, Adela, Danny. And Miss Sally.
Hello.
You ask for Joe?
Yes. Sit down, Joe. We want to ask you about the state of the nation.
Sure. Go ahead.
Danny's writing a piece about Canada.
Well, don't ask me to help, but that's the one thing I cannot do right. I can cook, I can a carpenter, I can make a love, but write, no. You got it the wrong man, Danny.
Yeah. I know you can cook, Joe. If you make love like you make ravioli, Mrs. Clementi has no cause for complaint. But I don't want you to write. I want to know what you think about Canada and Canadians.
You are serious?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know much about the politics and that sort of a thing. With me, Canada's a good. I take a chance in Canada. When I buy this place, my friends say I'll go abroad. But I worked, I laughed and kidded with the people, and I give them a good ravioli. And now lots of little people and lots of bigger people, they come to George Place. Like I say, when I take out of my paper, Canada, she's a land of opportunity.
You're a part of Canada now, Joe, doing a job. You run this place your own way. And if the people like it, they make you prosperous. And if the people don't like it, they don't come in. That's what you call economic democracy, if you get what I mean.
Sure I do. And that's fair. I can't make people eat my food. I got to serve them up what they like or they go someplace else. But I serve them up good. They come in here. They vote for Joe's ravioli.
What do you think is the secret of success, Joe?
Miss Sinelli, I tell you what I think. Do things for the people, sure. Find out what they need, what they will pay for, and give it to them. Give them something better for not so much a cost. You can't go wrong, Miss Nellie.
Thanks, Joe. I think you make a lot of sense. See you again.
You bet. You're always welcome at a Joe's place. So goodbye.
Look, Danny. There's a nice-looking old man window shopping. Let's talk to him next.
Okay. Two bits, he's a retired farmer.
I'll take that bet.
Pardon me, sir.
Yes, son?
I'm a newspaper reporter. Mid-City Sentinel.
Why, I read the Sentinel for years. Our favorite paper. Except it taps the farm weekly.
Oh, you're a retired farmer?
Retired? Wish you could follow me for a day. Nope, my boy and I farm a whole section just 40 miles from here. Oh, I still do a good day's work myself.
We'd like to get your views about Canada, Mr.
Anderson. Well, now, my wife and I are pretty fond of Canada. After all, we own 80 acres of it, and my son owns a lot, too.
Well, what, in your opinion, are some of Canada's problems?
Just look around this city, son. Seems to me there's just about everything in the world a person could want. Windows full of goods, prices reasonable considering wages. Running water in just about all the houses. Streetcars. Why, it's a lot different than the wife and me used to have. I kind of think too many people forget that these things have to be worked for. Take that big chicken in the butcher's window there, for instance. Took a mighty lot of feeding and cleaning up after to raise that chicken. Too much temptation for young folks in big cities to forget that. Those chickens have got to be raised and tended. And that's work, son, see?
You bet I do. Thanks a lot, Mr. Anderson.
Yes, and you keep reading the Sentinel, won't you?
You bet we will. Goodbye. Hope I helped you, son.
Well, Nellie, I guess he has something there. We're so used to seeing things all done up neatly in pretty packages, we forget they're the fruits of someone's labor. He sure was a nice old guy, though.
Danny, I'd like to get to the hairdressers for an hour or so. I'll try to cover the woman's angle while I'm getting prettied up.
So you're going to make business with pleasure, eh? Okay, see you tomorrow. Well, that was the way it went. Not until Nellie and I had talked to Canadians from all walks of life did I sit down and write the story. The paper ran it last night, and we got quite a bit of comment. Then the radio station telephoned this afternoon and asked the chief if they could broadcast it tonight. It should hit the air in about a minute.
Hi, Danny. Thought I'd come and listen with you. Am I late?
Hi, Nellie. It'll be on the air in a couple of seconds. Glad you came. I'm as nervous as a kitten.
Relax. It's going to be good. Here, I'll turn the volume up.
Okay.
Gentlemen, as previously announced, we are proud to present at this time a reading of an article which appeared last night in the Mid-City Sentinel under the heading, What is a Canadian? We at this station believe that this piece, entitled What is a Canadian?, strikes home in an unforgettable manner at a question which is, or should be, in the mind of every Canadian today. Here then is What is a Canadian? By Dan Marsden. 345 years ago, a Frenchman with a group of sturdy citizens stepped ashore at Port Royal in Acadia. He would have been considered a very unusual man today by many people. You see, he stepped into what some present-day men would call a disgraceful situation. Impossible, even. At Port Royal, it was impossible to find even a one-room apartment. The roads were in deplorable condition. Indeed, there were no roads. Not one foot of concrete in the whole country. There was no government to pass an order in council to make houses spring up out of nothing. There were no family allowances. There were no cultivated farms. On top of that, there were many unfriendly Indian tribes who had no use for this impressive mustached man and his followers. The man's name, as you may have guessed, was Samuel de Champlain. As I said, he was an unusual man. He saw at once that there was a severe housing problem, yet he didn't make a speech or pass a law or establish rent controls. He did an unusual thing. He and his followers immediately started building houses themselves. Has this spirit died? I don't think so. Canada led the world in new housing in 1948, an increase in house building of 17% over 1947. Samuel de Champlain set a pattern for Canadians, and there were many men with vision and courage enough to live up to that pattern. There was Timothy Eaton, for instance. He had faith in Canada and invested in it. Some folks thought him crazy when he started department store merchandising. Today, Canadians spend more than $700 million annually in Canadian department stores. Sir Frederick Banting, in a different fashion, followed the Canadian pattern. There was no cure for diabetes. Banting didn't wail about it, ask the government for it, deplore the lack of it. Banting did the Canadian thing. He created it, the blessing of insulin. At Brantford, Ontario, there was a young fellow who knew the Canadian pattern. In his day, neighbor was isolated from neighbor. Thousands died because distance made it impossible to summon the doctor in time. This man did the Canadian thing. He provided the means of communication. He didn't ask the government. He didn't rant and rave about the deplorable lack of communication. His name, lest you've forgotten, was Alexander Graham Bell. Today, over 39,000 stockholders of the Bell Telephone Company of Canada, of which more than 37,000 are Canadians, provide work for more than 25,000 Canadian men and women, and telephone service to millions. Aren't some of us taking too many of these things for granted? Aren't we forgetting first principles? Aren't we inclined at times to think that politicians give us these blessings? They never did. They never will. The Canadian way is to do it for ourselves. Because Canada has faith in its industrial leadership, this country bids fair to lead the entire world in its standard of living for all, and its care for the unfortunate few who, through no fault of their own, cannot make a full contribution to the forward march of our economy. Most of Canada's big corporations have more shareholders, or as many shareholders as they have workers. This is a good sign, for it means that the money which provides for expansion and the dividends that are paid out of profits come from and go to small individual investors. Nearly every adult Canadian is a capitalist. Our nation, sold on free enterprise, has in a few short years risen to fabulous heights. How many of us realize that Canada has now become a great world power? Listen to this. Canada is
first in newsprint production.
First in platinum.
Second in wood pulp.
Second in flour exports.
Second in gold.
Second in aluminum.
Second in zinc.
Leading exporter of base metals.
Third world exporting nation.
They could go on, those voices. They could tell of agricultural triumphs, for agriculture is our most important primary industry. They could tell how Canada's industrial capacity almost trebled from 1939 to 1945. They could tell of the heroism of our men at war, and our women, too. We cannot all be leaders, but we can be distinguished followers. We can be Canadians who do things, rather than Canadians who ask for things. And if we keep before us that spirit of free enterprise which characterized the men who made this land, we'll make such vast strides forward that the rest of the world will be amazed at our accomplishments. It has never failed. Wherever freedom reigned, there has been giant advances for the betterment of all. Wherever regimentation and restrictions was the rule, the poor have become poorer, and the handful who remain rich become demagogues. Canada, and indeed the entire New World, is washed today by the currents of communism and statism. There is a tendency for the tired old world to rest in the opiate clouds of central authority. If Canadians are not kept constantly aware of that danger, free enterprise will fall into disgrace, and the accomplishments of the past will gradually rust away. But if, on the other hand, the great majority of Canadians continue to see the vision that free enterprise presents, the challenge to the individual to stand on his own 2 feet and to do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay, this country will, without a doubt, set records of abundance and happiness. Yes, and charity to others, far and beyond any that the world has ever known. That is the challenge. Can you, as a citizen, find the courage to accept it?